Go back to where we had our scripture reading last week and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll read the same verses, a couple of the same verses we read last week, and then add another portion to that. We're doing a series on how Satan works today. And the message title we started last week is really part one. We started talking about one of his devices. Satan has devices, plural, but one of his devices is he has his message and his messengers. And both of them are found here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. By the way, next week I will not be continuing this series, but we'll actually spend talking more about God's gift to us through the Lord Jesus Christ and talking about gifts as we think about the holiday time and how you can't outgive God. And so we'll have a message more on the gospel next week. The week after that, I'll probably have a New Year's, but it's not in my head what I'm going to preach on yet. So we won't continue this until after the New Year begins, and then we'll continue because I'm not done showing some of Satan's devices. So anyhow, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. The Apostle Paul writes, he says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel that ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Drop to verse 13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you that we can know you and know your gift of eternal life and then have a Bible that will expose to us the lies that we could be attacked with. And certainly they're all Satan's devices to draw us away from the truth of your word. So I pray that even as we have this series and talk today about Satan's message and messengers, that, Father, that we might be equipped to identify those lies and to stand for the truth. And pray that that might be true of everyone here today. Pray that it'll be a profitable time. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. So as you can see in verses 3 and 4 is the message of Satan, and then in verses 13 through 15 refers to the messengers of Satan. So Satan, just like God, has his message and his messengers. God's message is a message of grace to us of salvation. We'll talk about that as we get into our study here. But his messenger to us is the Apostle Paul in the age of grace. He is the one who brought the gospel of the grace of God to us Gentiles. And what's interesting, if you kind of just look at this, the warning of the Apostle Paul in verse 3 and 4 is a warning that someone's going to preach another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. Then notice verse 5, 2 Corinthians 11, 5. "For I suppose I am not a whit behind the chiefest apostles." So Satan has false apostles, but Paul begins immediately when he starts talking about the doctrine that he delivered to the Gentiles, he establishes the fact that he is the apostle of the Gentiles, so that you realize that our doctrine comes to us through our apostle, the Apostle Paul. He defends that from verses 5 all the way down to verse 12 and then exposes false apostles. In verse 16, he goes on to say, "I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I might boast a little myself a little." And he starts boasting about himself, what it's cost him to get the gospel out, and the very fact that when you enter into chapter 12, that the revelations he received and how that he could boast about those things, but God has given him a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he be exalted above measure. So our revelation is given to us of the Apostle Paul, but Satan not only has a message of another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel, but we get our message of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Apostle Paul. When we talked about another Jesus last time, when we talked about his message in part one, this is part two, the messengers. But when we talked about someone who would come and preach another Jesus, there are all those that would preach another Messiah. Jesus means Savior, so they would follow a man as being their Savior and whatever a man says. But also in the Bible, Jesus Christ was preached to the nation of Israel as their Messiah, the King that's going to come and establish his kingdom. And the Apostle Paul comes on the scene and he says he preaches Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. He doesn't preach to us about Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, who's going to establish a kingdom in Israel and bring salvation to the Gentiles through the nation of Israel. He preaches Jesus Christ directly to us as our Savior. And that when we get saved today, we become part of the church, the body of Christ, and Jesus Christ is related to us as our head. So he's Israel's king that's going to come back and establish a kingdom here on earth, but he's the head of the church, the body of Christ, as the Apostle Paul preaches to us in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And people who don't divide between Israel's program and the program of the dispensation of grace, they actually preach another Jesus if they spend all their times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's not our message, and that's when Jesus Christ only went to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So you begin to realize how someone could do that, preach another Jesus, and then another spirit, that our doctrine comes by the ministry through the Apostle Paul, and I've just already pointed that out by how he defends his apostleship, and then in chapter 12, his message. And so that's where we get our message today, and there are those that would have another message totally. And that's what we showed last week, that when you have spirit with a small s, that it has to do with the doctrine that's being preached, the message that's being preached. And they'll preach something other than what was revealed to the Apostle Paul for us. But worst of all, that they'll preach another gospel, another good news. Even if you went to the good news of the kingdom program, they had to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That's not how a person's saved today. Today the message is about the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hold your place in 2 Corinthians 11. Come back with me to Galatians, where we ended last week. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, where Paul says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto another, called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. So the gospel of Christ, grace, moved from the grace of Christ unto another gospel. The grace of Christ is undeserved, unmerited favor. Another gospel would mean you'd earn your salvation. So he says, which is not another, because you can't get saved another way, but there be some that trouble you who would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. So say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. So there be those that will preach another gospel, and Paul warns about that. I want you to look again at verses 8 and 9. And notice that in verse 8, and I'm going to skip the second thing he says. First he says, but though we, and now skip this last, the next part for a minute, or an angel from heaven, skip that. Though we preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have, we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Is it possible that Paul could come back later to the Galatians and share a different gospel message? Sure, it'd be possible. But if he did, it wouldn't be a right, it would be a perverted gospel message. The gospel that Paul first preached to the Galatians, the gospel of the grace of God, is the gospel that saves. And Paul's warning them that even if he came back and preached a different gospel, then he would be accursed. Now, he didn't do that, but the very point that he would actually say it that way would impress you to the fact that when he came to them giving the gospel that Jesus Christ revealed to him to share with the Gentiles, how, like what it says over there in verse 4, verse 3 says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. The gospel, the grace of God, is not what you do, it's what Jesus Christ did. He gave himself for our sins. As it says in 1 Corinthians 15, he died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day, and as Romans adds to that, he was raised for our justification. Our salvation is by grace through faith alone in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that provided salvation, and he provided it completely, where there's nothing left to do except to receive it. And so he came and preached that message, and he's warning the Galatians, if he comes back and says something later on differently, don't believe it. Let him be accursed. Verse 9 says, As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, that ye have not received, let him be accursed. So he went talking about himself in verse 8, and then said, any man, and he said, if any man preach any other gospel. So it's not just him, it's any man that comes and would preach another gospel. Exactly what we're talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, where someone would preach another gospel. And Paul says, let him be accursed. Now, the reason I skipped the middle, the second thing in verse 8, is that's kind of where we want to talk about today. You know, in verse 8, when he said, though we, and then he says, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel. You know, in my mind, I guess when I read that, I think that he's just talking hypothetically. Me or an angel from heaven. But is it possible that he's actually warning that an angel from heaven could preach, come and preach another gospel and they would receive it? And if so, let him be accursed. That'd be an accursed angel. So when Paul says that, you know, sometimes you just read past it and then you realize, wait a minute. So what is our scripture reading back there in chapter 11, the messengers of Satan? Look again at verse 13. He says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now transformed means you have one appearance, and then you're transformed to have a different appearance. And when I read verse 4 and I think about Satan himself being transformed into an angel of light, would he have to be transformed into an angel of light before the angels in heaven? Or do they all know who he is and what he stands for? Some have already followed him. And when it says he is transformed into an angel of light, who is he transformed as an angel of light to? Could it be that he would come and preach another gospel to some people? So, you know, you get thinking about that. But then verse 15 again, he's got his own messengers. Therefore, it is no great thing if his messengers be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end is according to their works. So they're going to be transformed as, so it's counterfeit, ministers of righteousness, but they're not ministers of righteousness. And when he makes that statement, whose end is according to their works, there's damnation for Satan's messengers going out because they're preaching another gospel. Now I'm going to say something to you that might sound real harsh or stern or hard, but Satan's messengers fill most of the church pulpits around the world. His subtle message, corrupting the people from the simplicity that is in Christ, have them preaching another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. And, you know, when you think about out there, you know, they're not all preaching the same gospel. They're not all preaching the gospel of the grace of God. They're not all preaching the revelation of the gospel of the grace of God that was given to Paul, to us Gentiles, about the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they're not, they're ministers of Satan. That's the only way to be saved today. And you know, you look at the world out there and the churches out there and you hear what the preachers are saying out there, you begin to really get alarmed with how well Satan has worked his system into this world. Now, there's a question that comes up, and that is, how does Satan get his message into the mouth of his messengers? Now, I really wanted to spend a lot of time on this, but I'm ignorant about a lot of this. We used to have Bible conferences, and then in the evening we'd get around and sit around and talk 2-3 in the morning. And one of the questions that came up is exactly this. How does Satan get his word, his message, into the mouth of the messengers that are out there carrying out his message? And like I say, you think that it was just real clear verses on it. There are some, and I want to share with you some ideas about this, and then just think about it. Because there are, though, first of all, let's start out this way. God's message to us, God first gave an apostle. For us, it's the Apostle Paul. But in the scriptures, he gave prophets and apostles. Then he gave to us Gentiles the Apostle Paul. But when God gave these apostles, he first gave them the Spirit. And then, as Peter said, they were moved by the Holy Ghost and they wrote Scripture. So that God, through the apostles and by his Spirit, wrote Scripture for you and I to know the truth. And so he spoke first out of their mouths, but eventually they wrote those scriptures down to last forever so that we would have them today, because we're not there to hear their mouth speak, but God was speaking through their mouth. So when I've gone to these Bible conferences, I'm going to say something, again, that's going to sound crude, but we've had some people were saying, well, you know, God's not doing anything today. He put his word out there, and now that's what's working. And so their conclusion was, that's what Satan did. Satan has his lie, he put it out there, and the messengers just keep grabbing it and spreading it. And when I used to hear that, I think, God's not doing nothing today? And really, I don't think they meant to say it that way. I think what they meant to say, at least I won't speak for them, but that God is not intervening today. In special giving, like special revelations to people and guiding people in a special way. God today works by his Spirit. He gives the Spirit. When a person believes the gospel, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And he gives his Spirit and his Word, and the Spirit uses the Word of God to guide our life. So that when we read in Philippians, and this is when someone says God's not doing anything today, Philippians says, it's God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Oh, I think God's working today. How did you get sealed with the Holy Spirit in the first place? God sealed you with the Holy Spirit when you trusted the gospel. So God is doing something today, but the truth is, he is working through his Spirit and his Word, and it's by his Spirit. Romans 8 and Galatians chapter 5 talk about us being led by the Spirit of God. We are informed in 1 Corinthians, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. Well, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. When you read that in the book of Colossians, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, being filled with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and so forth. So that being filled with the Spirit is being filled with the Word of God, and filled meaning controlled by. And so the way God controls us today is by his Spirit using the Word of God in our life. If you don't take the Word of God in your life and know what God says, the Spirit can't lead you other than that. He doesn't just move you around hocus pocus. He uses the Word of God and guides you through his Word and fills you, controls your life so that you manifest the life of Christ in you. Well, if you think about that, Satan matches that to some degree. That is, that Satan here has planted his lies and then propagates them through his messengers. Now, Satan doesn't really have scripture that those people use. They have the lies that have been set. And so the question is there more lies being promoted by Satan through the age of grace? Satan working that way in his, getting out his message? So, in Paul's epistles, I come to a dead end thinking, okay, except that, you know, the Apostle Paul, no, this is just getting ahead of ourselves. When you get to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said it was given to him a messenger from Satan to buffet him. a messenger of Satan to buffet him. So he was speaking to Paul in a certain way. Now, we're not going to cover that today because we don't have enough time. But I think about, you know, when Paul went to Thessalonica, he was only there 3 weeks, and out of the martyrdom or the persecution, he was driven out of the city. And he writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 that time again he tried to come back. He said, but Satan hindered us. You think about, what do you mean, Satan? He come down and put a wall there? Or did Satan send messengers, manipulate the crowd to keep Paul from coming back? And how did he do that? Well, that's, you know, I don't quite understand how he did that, but Paul doesn't have any problem saying it was Satan who was doing it. Now, outside of Paul's epistles, I want you to see some things. So come with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. In verse 3, I'm not going to go through everything. You'll see, you'll know immediately what this is. It says, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and the captains how he might betray him, that is Jesus Christ, unto them. Now Judas was already a thief stealing from the money that was collected by the apostles. He wasn't some good guy and Satan entered into him. He was already a betrayer in the sense of he wasn't really good. But the point is how did Satan get his way but to manipulate the arrest of the Lord Jesus Christ? Actually indwelt Judas himself. Just like in the future, he will indwell an Antichrist, the beast, as it's called in the book of Revelation. So Satan actually entered into him, and then he goes speaks to the enemies of Jesus Christ and explains to them how and when they can arrest him. And you know the story from there. If not, you can keep reading on. But come over to the same chapter and look over in verse 31. It says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So here, like, the Lord didn't pray for Judas, but Satan wanted Peter. He's the leader of the 12. And the Lord Jesus Christ prayed to him to keep Satan away from him, but Peter is going to fall. Peter is going to deny the Lord Jesus Christ after the death of Christ, when he's around the crowds of people there, and they said, you're one of those disciples. No, I never knew him, you know. Peter's going to deny him 3 times. And then the Lord says, when thou art converted. Peter almost gave up the ministry. The Lord called him back. You can read that about in John chapter 21. And so Peter came back to the Lord. And then he says, strengthen thy brethren. So Peter's going to have a fall, but he's not going to be taken by Satan. The Lord Jesus Christ has some protection to Peter there. And so it's interesting, you're talking about Satan working, and the Lord knew Satan wanted Peter, but he's not going to have him. So you have that incident. But there's another incident, and this is, come back with me to Matthew chapter 16. Peter is always one that speaks up for the 12. And everyone laughs because he usually puts his foot in his mouth and the Lord has to correct him, and he certainly did here. But I want you to see the correction and the thing that the Lord said to him in this verse. The Lord Jesus Christ, no one, they thought Jesus Christ came to earth to set up his kingdom on the earth. He'll do that in the second coming. Before he could ever set up a kingdom, he's got to provide salvation. So he's going to go to the cross and die. But they're not preaching about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. They're preaching about Christ's kingdom. And so in verse 21, the first time, the Lord starts explaining to his apostles that he's going to die when he gets to Jerusalem, not be crowned a king. So he said this in verse 21 of Matthew 16. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and to be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Now, do you just catch that? The Lord said, this is what's going to happen. And Peter said, no way, it's not going to happen. He just contradicted the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. He called Peter Satan. Why? Because Peter wasn't speaking God's word, he was speaking Satan's message. That far be from, this is not going to happen to you. But the Lord, he just said, thou savorest the things. That word savoreth, we think of like flavor or smell. But what it has to do, it's actually the same word, set your affections on things above. That's the same word. It's the thinking process. And he was thinking from his own human point of view. And he was thinking, no, you're going to be the king. That's never going to happen to you. But he wasn't listening to what Jesus Christ just said. He actually contradicted the words of Jesus Christ. Satan's attack is always to contradict the word of God. And so Satan actually used Peter as a messenger of himself. He put his words in Peter's mouth because Peter just thought naturally rather than from the word of God itself. And Jesus Christ is the very word of God. Do you realize when Paul said, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. As if Paul could come back and preach another gospel. Do you realize if you don't speak the truth of God's word, who you're really speaking for? You get up and preach salvation by works, you know who you're really speaking for? You're preaching another gospel. You're a messenger of Satan, as it's called in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So that if Satan could do that to Peter, we got to be careful that we speak what God speaks and not just something that we just dream up out of our own head, because it's really not going to come out of our own head. It's going to be a lie that's going to be from Satan himself. And how he gets that in you, well, that's what I'm talking about. One of the ways we know that is in Ephesians chapter 2. It says this. It says, in verse 1, it says, and you hath he quickened, talking to the believer. Quickened means made alive. When we trust the gospel, we are given the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And you hath he quickened, who were dead, before we got saved, were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past, when we are in our trespasses and sins, it says, ye walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, no, that's a small s, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Another spirit. That's what that is. And so when we walked according to the course of the prince of the power of the air, that's a reference to Satan, that spirit that he imposes on the world, his doctrine that he imposes on the world, works in the children of disobedience. His message is working in them, and they become his messengers. So we want the Spirit of God to work in our life, to speak the Word of God concerning the truth of what God has for us. But so there's one sense in which, as the prince of the power of the air, his spirit works in the children of disobedience by planting in them his thoughts and them not speaking according to God's word. Everybody says, well, I think this, I think that, and they got all these opinions. That's just Satan's way of propagating his message. But there is another form that has happened in the Bible that God has kind of just pulled back the curtain between us and the spirit world to let us see something that took place years ago. Come with me to 1 Kings chapter 22. Now Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, of Judea, the southern portion of Israel, that still represented the truth of God, and he was a good king. But he joins forces with Ahab, who now controls the 10 northern tribes of Israel, and is totally in idolatry, and they're going to go to war. And so Ahab has his prophets, like the prophets of Baal. They're back in Elijah's day, there was 450 prophets of Baal. So what our number is, I don't know what the number is, but Ahab had his prophet come, and they said, oh yeah, you go to war, you're going to win, you're going to take the Syrians, Assyria, I think it is. And so they advised him, go to war. And Jehoshaphat said, isn't there anybody here that has the Spirit of God? So they call Micaiah to come, who's a prophet of God, and speak. And he says the opposite of what the other prophets have said. And so when they get all upset about it, God pulls back the veil. How is it that all the false prophets were all saying the same thing? Look at verse 20. Verse 20 says this. It says, And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. Now, the Lord, the prophet Micaiah is his name. He's actually telling how it is that all the false prophets are doing this, because God up in heaven is asking a question to the angelic beings up there, and they're saying, he's asking, who's going to go persuade Ahab to go to war? So they're the angels are discussing, and they come up with a couple different ideas. Verse 21 says, and there came forth a spirit that stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. The reason they're all speaking that is a spirit or came from there and became a lying spirit in the mouth of all those false prophets. Satan got his message into the mouth of those messengers so that they would persuade Ahab. What's always interesting in all of this is all of it's under the control of God. When Satan attacked Job, he could only go so far. God told him what he can do and what he can't do. And so here, Ahab, which is a wicked king, God is allowing this evil spirit, this lying spirit, to be to give a lying message to the mouth of all the lying prophets. So the question is, how does Satan get his message into those messengers? Well, there's one where the curtain is pulled back for you to see how that works. So with that said, come with me now here, where this is the verse that we want to use. I don't think I have any other verses. So come to Colossians chapter 2. This is an interesting passage. Now here's one from Paul's epistles where the Apostle Paul is warning us of how we can be beguiled. Colossians chapter 2. And it says in verse 18, it says, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Voluntary, they just submit themselves to as if they're humble and live in poverty or humility. And involved in that is some idea of worshiping of angels. Let no man beguile you of your reward. Now he's talking to the believer and us being beguiled, being led astray unto another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. And so it says, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding in those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up with it by his fleshly mind. The first thing I want you to notice in that verse, that the people who are beguiling them toward the worship of angels, the worshiping of angels, are intruding in those things. You know, there has always been means of people connecting to the spirit world by intruding in things they shouldn't be involved in. The Old Testament is a warning all the time about people that would contact familiar spirits, because there is a way that people can do this. The drug scene was always big into the people get so taken in drugs end up having these thoughts, and whether they actually open a door into the spirit world, the possibility. But may I say this? When you talk about intruding, when they intrude into that spirit world, what kind of spirit are they contacting? And it certainly is a demonic spirit. My son Kevin got studying about the occult one time, and he kept looking at different things, and I don't know exactly what got him doing that. He knew it was scary and it's something he didn't want to stay into, but he was looking at things, and we would talk at lunchtime, and he would share with me something different each time. And so I never looked in. It's a dark world out there. But he came up to this conclusion that every false religion, every secret organization, every cult and the occult, the dark political system that's out there, the circles of even educational influence, and I know this by a fact, that the modern day educational system, when they were changing the way they were going to teach our kids, eventually the person who is behind it all, there's records of them being involved in demonic things. Now, the teachers today don't know where that's where the source came from, but that is where the source came from. But they all those things, there are religious circles that actually get into demonic. There are those organizations that people have, and they do parades and all the rest. But to be a part of their organization, there are occultic things they get involved in. And so it just seems like all those things have some contact, some intrusion with demonic beings, and then as a result of that, there's a influence where Satan can influence their life. Now, that's just more of a warning to you. Of all those different things. But the other thing in this verse, in verse 18 here, it says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding in those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." Now, a lot of times when we read that verse, we say, see, he's intruding in things that he has not seen. He's vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, so he's lying that he's talked to an angel. Maybe he is, but is everyone lying that said they've talked to an angel? And that's why I said, Paul said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel. Paul says, Satan appears as an angel of light. No wonder his ministers appear as ministers of righteousness. So, does Satan propagate his lie by intruding by an angelic visitation and persuade people then to take his message out to the world? And the truth of the matter is, he has. Let me read to you some things that I looked up and found. The New Age movement that began in the 60s, of course, with the drug scene, and the 70s and the 80s, received their information from spirit guides through channeling, and psychics receive their impressions by familiar spirits. And you still see all that all around us. There is a man named Ben Ami. He goes by the name Ben Israel. He began the Black Hebrew Israelites in 1966, and he claimed to have received a vision from the angel Gabriel. In the vision, he claimed that he was instructed to lead the children of Israel among black Americans to the promised land and establish the long-awaited kingdom of God. Islam believed the Quran was verbally dictated by the angel Gabriel based on eternal tablets that are in heaven. The angel Gabriel is believed to have appeared to Muhammad, delivering him verses of the Quran. Buddhism, and you think Buddhism doesn't have any gods, but they're involved in spiritualism. The leading Buddhist in India some years back made this declaration. He said, "There were stars all around me, and I felt the profound sense of peace. The goddess appeared before me, glowing with bright white light. I knew her by Kan Yin. She gave me several messages. the most memorable being take care of myself. Anyhow, that's Buddhism. Moses Berg, he started the cultic group that were called the Children of God, received some of their teaching from contacts with spirit guides and angels. There are Christian healing ministries that are active today, but way back there's a man named William Brigham. Brandom is his name. William Brandom, who claimed that when he was 3 and when he was 7, he was visited by angels. And in fact, I got a quote where that someone wrote about him, said that at about age 38, he was praying in a small trapping cabin in north of his home in Jeffersonville, Indiana. It was there, late into the night, that the angel of the Lord visited him and gave him a commission to pray for the sick. So he begins faith healing ministry. Among other things, the angels told him, if you get people to believe you and be sincere when you pray, nothing shall stand before your prayers, not even cancer. And he is the one that's contributed to the very fact of the Word of Faith movement and all the healing ministries that you see go on, that there are people like W.V. Grant, A.A. Allen, even Oral Roberts, that were influenced by him. Even today, evangelists such as Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, and the whole Word of Faith movement say that his writings were his mentors. He mentored them. So, again, all through a visitation of an angel. Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, is said to have been visited by the angel Moroni on the night of September 21st, 1823, and guided him to the golden plates containing ancient scriptures, which are, you know, become the Book of Mormon. Even the teaching of Brigham Young is said to have been influenced by by angelic visitations. Ellen G. White of the Seventh-day Adventist movement was touched by, quote, accompanying angel who revealed to her truths of the Bible. She exclaimed in a vision, dark, dark, so dark. Later, her face brightened, and she exclaimed, light, a little light, more light, much light. This is the so-called angel Gabriel, or a being of light that's supposed to have visited her. Some people say the Jehovah's Witnesses began by angelic being, but angelic visitation. I can't verify that. But I do know this, and I wanted to give you this warning, that they teach that Michael the Archangel is the only begotten Son of God. In the incarnation, he became known as Jesus Christ, but basically it's Michael that became flesh and died for the sins of the Jehovah's Witnesses. That's their writing. The point is though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel. Satan appears as an angel of light, but he has messengers. And you can identify his messengers by you knowing the truth. The only way that we know the truth is by the Word of God itself. By you being in the Word of God and knowing the truth of God's Word rightly divided, can you then know the lies and the messengers of Satan? But Satan does. Just like God has his message and his messengers, Satan has his message and messengers, and they are counterfeits, and they look a lot like angels of light, ministers of righteousness, but they're Satan's messengers. And the only way you know the difference is you got a Bible that's the truth of God's Word that needs to be rightly dividing the Word of truth. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for the truth of your Word. We thank you for the simplicity that's in Christ, the gospel of your grace, the finished work of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, dying on the cross, paying for all of our sins, so that you could give us eternal life as a free gift. And at times, Father, we not always believing the truth, speaking the truth, but the truth is here for us to read and understand and correct our thinking and our words. But we thank you that you saved us through the finished work of your Son. And we thank you that that gospel has been made plain. We've made it plain here today. Pray that each person has trusted the finished work of the cross for their salvation and are not on guard for those that would preach otherwise and say things other than the truth of your word rightly divided. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.